Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name, can you say it with me together? Jesus. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that name, Jesus. It is a glorious name. And Father, today as we unwrap that name, I pray that you would be glorified. Lord, I pray today in this building, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the God of heaven to the glory of God, both now and forever. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time of preaching. I yield myself to you, and I ask that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may be filled with your Holy Spirit and used as a vessel unto honor, that you may be high and lifted up among us. God, I pray that you just preach through me your message to your church today, that we may hear and listen to what the Spirit of God has to say, that we would leave here properly prepared for the remainder of the day in which we celebrate the advent of our King. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. It is in his precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Savior, King and Creator, you could have left us on our own, but you're here. You're here. Hallelujah, you're here. Hallelujah, you're here.
Today's a day of great anticipation for many children and adults alike. I had a little boy come out this morning after he was instructed not to leave his room until mommy or daddy came and got me, and he camouflaged his disobedience by running out and saying, "Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!" How can you get mad at a voice like that? And you say, "Didn't I tell you? Oh, well, the curtain's off." But today is the day that many of us remember, even going back in our minds, of great anticipation. Whether you're a grown-up or you're a child, everybody wakes up on Christmas morning with excitement and expectation about gifts that they would receive. You could say, as we do on at our house on Christmas Eve, the day has finally come, and the great anticipation is here. The time has come, and one day, 2,000 years ago, the time had finally come for a young couple by the name of Joseph and Mary, and really the whole world, as the song just said. At last, a Savior was born. At last, the Messiah had come, and the long-expected prophecy had been fulfilled. Our text is embedded in the real-life setting of Mary and Joseph's engagement, and you can imagine, as we talked about even on Wednesday night, the joyful anticipation of their wedding, when all of a sudden their plans were changed. Their dreams, their expectations came crashing down around them as the angel had told both Mary and Joseph that Mary was actually with a child without her ever knowing a man. The angel tells them not to fear because the baby is God. And that he came down in the flesh, and then his name was going to be given. They said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now, when I was a boy, I couldn't wait until my mother would begin to bring presents out and set them under the tree a few days before Christmas, maybe even 5 to 7 days before. She would bring out a gift here and a gift there, and slowly but surely they would begin to trickle through. And every single day I would come in from school and I'd look underneath the tree in our museum called the living room, where nobody was allowed to be in. And I would look under there, and there'd be a little more there and a little more there. And about Christmas Eve would come around, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, there's three kids, and we got grandkids now and all of this, and I'm looking under there going, there ain't no way that's enough presents for everybody. That's got to be just enough for me. And, you know, that's how we are when we're little. We assume that all of them have our names on them, right? And isn't that how it works? We all are a little excited, and we like to see our name, when we're little at least, on the biggest presents. You know what I'm talking about? I remember thinking, that one has got to be mine because nobody else wants a present that big. And of course, the bigger the better is what you think when you're little. And then something happens. You get a little older and you want them on the littlest gifts. You want your name to be on the smallest box because you've learned that good things come in. Yes, very good. Maybe there is a Mrs. or a ma'am out there that'll have a little package under the tree when we're all done. I don't know about that, but that's the way it normally goes for us when we get older. I believe that we're all here this morning, however, because we don't believe that Christmas is all about the tinsel. We don't believe that it's all about the tree, the lights, or the presents that bear our name. But we're here because we believe that Christmas is about the name that God put on the greatest gift of all 2,000 years ago, and that name is Jesus Christ. How many believe that this morning? It's about what that name means to him, and also what that name means to all of us. I think if you'll take your outline this morning, I'd like you to notice three necessary observations about the name of Jesus as we consider this name, the greatest name of all, on Christmas morning. And I hope and pray that we've come with that expectation that we're not here to talk about Santa. We're not here to talk about the Yule log. We're not here to talk about the Christmas tree or even the red poinsettias and notice how dainty everything is. We're really here to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. We're really here to point all men to him because that's the meaning of Christmas. That's why it bears his name. By the way, that's why I don't like to exit out. I like the full name because I like the full meaning of Christmas. And I don't think that you can truly celebrate Christmas without Christ in your life. I think it becomes an empty holiday like many of them. But I believe very carefully, you'll notice in from Scripture this morning, these observances or the observations, if you will, about Jesus' name. Let's just think and consider this morning, first of all, the inspiration of the name. The inspiration of the name Jesus. Now, letter A in your outline, Moses wrote about salvation in writing about Jesus long before Jesus was ever on the scene. You see this in your notes in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 8, as he's going through a list of names of people of the tribe of Ephraim. Notice the name Hoshea, the son of Nun. Now, Hoshea means salvation. But then if you go down a few more verses, down in verse 16 in Numbers 13, it says, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called, notice, Hoshea, the son of Nun, Yehoshea. Now, Yehoshea is a variation, but it means something different. Instead of just salvation, it means Jehovah is salvation. Now, I don't think anything's by accident. How many believe that? When the Holy Spirit of God inspired the Word of God, what was he doing? Well, Joshua in the Old Testament is the same name as Jesus in the New Testament. And that never becomes more illuminated than when we were over in Israel and we were going by the Jordan, where historically the children of Israel came across the Jordan and Joshua was leading them. And our guide, Avi Cohen, said the name Yehoshea. And I said, hey, I know that name. And of course, he didn't want to talk about Jesus very much because he was a Jew, but I did want to talk about Jesus because the names are the same. Jesus means salvation is of the Lord. It's the same name. So Moses wrote about salvation when he was renaming Hoshea. Secondly, letter B, Joshua then is the picture of the Savior. Now, it's interesting if you correlate lives and types of Christ from the Old Testament to the New Testament, but think about this. Joshua was born in slavery and exalted to be the ruler of his people. Before Joshua, walls, specifically the walls of Jericho, fell down. Joshua followed the law of Moses, and Jesus came, not for the law, but to fulfill the law, and he brought us unto grace. Before the Lord Jesus Christ, walls of demonic activity and walls of bad health and walls of sin fell down. By the way, I'm thankful that those walls are down this morning. And he led his people, Joshua led his people to victory over the Canaanites, as Jesus claimed the victory on Calvary for every human being. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, the Bible declares, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified, listen, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, Joshua was a picture of Jesus. That's the inspiration of the name. That's where it begins. Secondly, though, I want you to notice the impact of that name. The impact of the name Jesus. Now, culturally speaking, you don't find many American-born citizens with the name Jesus. But it was common, letter A, in the day Jesus was born. Joshua or Yehoshea was common. I don't know what necessarily is common today. Many people named their sons that day, though, after Joshua as a great leader in Israel, and rightly so. Why wouldn't you want a son named Joshua? Why wouldn't you want somebody who had that kind of faith, who had that kind of courage, who had that kind of stalwart bone of fidelity to the Lord and saying, you know what, I want to be courageous for God. Why wouldn't you want to name your son that? So it was common in the day of Jesus' birth. Today, people still name their children after great leaders of our country or perhaps after their forefathers because of what their name meant to them. Consequently, making that name common in every generation. I just spoke to a friend of mine yesterday who has named all four of his children after presidents of the United States of America. By the way, good ones, not bad ones. Won't bring up any names, but it was common in the day of Jesus. Secondly, though, when he was born and through his life, he made that name uncommon. From the day he was called Jesus, from the day his birth was heralded, from the day that Mary pondered all these things in her heart, the name would never mean exactly the same anymore. It would be uncommon. I'm sure it wasn't shocking to Joseph and Mary to be told that the Son of God would be called Jesus. Well, that would make sense. If he is to be the Savior, it would make sense that he would be called Jesus because of what the name means. After all, it was a common name and they knew the meaning of the name, so it made sense. But what they didn't realize was that from that day on, the name would no longer be thought of in the very same way. That name meant salvation to the shepherds. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It was healing to the helpless. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 8, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, to the poor beggar. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And friend, he did. He went walking and leaping and praising God. To the demons, it meant destruction. Mark chapter 5, Jesus, and always night and day, speaking of the maniac in Gadara, this man was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones, the Bible says. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? And then he said, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Oh my, that name's a powerful name. The Bible says, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And guess what? He was gone, all because of the name of Jesus. It was life to the lepers. He was resurrection to the dead. John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Listen, believest thou this? Could I ask you a question this morning? Do you believe that that name is above every name and that that name was no longer the same after Jesus was named it? What does that name then mean to you this morning? I would love to think that every Christian I know would have got up on Christmas morning because of the name of Jesus Christ. I think if we were all honest this morning, and if I even gave an invitation right now, we were probably a little more excited to find our name on a gift. God said, but wait a minute. And by the way, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm just saying, as human beings, that's how cold-hearted and deceitful we really are. We're that selfish. That's why we have Jesus to remind us. I think days like today remind us that it's not really about our name. It's not really about how many presents bear our name. It's about the best gift that was ever given that bears the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Does it mean so much to you that your prayers are regular and effective? In John chapter 14, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, the danger at Christmas is in settling for traditions instead of the truth. It's in being enamored with the reds and greens of Christmas to the point that we forget the reason for Christmas. Can I challenge you this morning to let the name of Jesus Christ impact the way that you pray? Impact the way that you live your life, not just today, but in every day, because of the name. The inspiration of the name was given to Moses. The impact of the name was given directly to Mary and Joseph and in Jesus' life. Thirdly, and I'm done, I want you to see the importance of the name. Twice in our text, the Bible says, he shall be called Jesus. Even clarifies that this is not just Jesus, a man. This is Emmanuel, the God-man with us. Somebody say amen right there. It's not just a man and not just a God. He was God and he was man at the same time. And we need to remember that. The importance of the name. Every year, people scan the internet to find out the most popular baby names and what they mean. Your children have their name for a particular reason, and Jesus was named for particular reasons. I like to think they were named for omniscient reasons. I'd like to believe they were named for omnipotent reasons and omnipresent reasons. That name, letter A, is associated with our salvation, of course. I hope that you don't ever use the name Jesus as a by the way word. I hope that you never use it as a, God forbid it should be used as a cuss word. That you should be disgusted as you say the name Jesus because of what it's associated with. Of course, at Christmas, we associate it with a manger and we associate it with peace and gentility and silent night and all that, and oh, little town of Bethlehem. But that was just the beginning. Oh, not the beginning of Jesus. That was the beginning of the importance of that name Jesus, because 33 and a half years later, he would walk across the Valley Kidron, be tried mockfully, and would be hung on an old tree and he would die there, and he would complete the circle. He would cry out to God, "It is finished," and he would give up the ghost, and he would die for you. That's the baby Jesus that grew up. That's the baby Jesus that was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That was the Jesus that walked this earth. That was God that came to commune so that he could be crucified, so that he could commission. That's the name. The importance of the name as it's associated with our salvation. Listen to the Bible in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Over and over and over again, Jesus is linked to my salvation. Is it linked to your salvation this morning? Because I want you to make sure and take very close note that nowhere on your outline is there a place for Buddha and salvation. Nowhere on there will you find Allah or Muhammad. Nowhere on there will you find Mary Baker Eddy. You won't find another name under heaven whereby we must be saved. But Jesus is that holy name. It's forever associated with our salvation. Secondly, it's associated with our resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." I always get excited at Christmas because it reminds me that God's timing is always the right timing, and that God's timing is always the perfect timing, and that Jesus Christ, when the time was fully come, was born. And that means when my time is fully come, I'm going to be with him in heaven. I'm going to be with the name Jesus Christ forever. Hallelujah. It's associated with our salvation. It's associated with our resurrection. Thirdly, that name is associated with judgment. Say, come on, pastor. You've got the nativity scene out. You've got the red poinsettias. We've sung Silent Night. We've sung Joy to the World. And you got to bring judgment into it. I do, because Jesus died for my judgment. It's associated with judgment. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One day we're all going to bow before that name. In this life, should I humble myself and count him worthy as he is and take him to be my Savior? Then I don't have to face the white throne judgment because my sin's already been judged. When I take Jesus as my Savior, hallelujah, my sins are gone. I just read this morning in my devotions, as far as the east is from the west, so hath he separated me from my sin. Hallelujah. But not to those whose names are not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's interesting, names, how important they are. And God said, the name of my son is important. It's important because I'm going to associate it from now on to eternity with the bar. What's necessary for salvation is that I be like Jesus. Are you? Nobody in here is going to ever be like that. And God knew that. So he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill my son because of your sin so that you could live. It will forever be associated with your salvation when you take him. It will ever be associated with the resurrection that you will have in me. As Jesus said, I am the resurrection. It will forever be associated with the judgment that's going to come upon this world. Fourthly, it's always associated with God's final word. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And behold, I come quickly. The final words of Jesus, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, and the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus," do you see it? "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star." He didn't say, "I," and put your name in. He didn't say, "I," and put Baptist in there. He said, "I, Jesus." You remember, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And from that moment on, it was never the same. It will always be associated with God's final word. Lastly, I believe it's going to be, and it ought to be, associated with the Christian life. I hope that you're never ashamed of the name of Jesus. I hope that you're never hesitant because of the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In fact, do you have that in your notes? Can we read that out loud together? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Ready? Begin. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I want to read it again, and I want you to emphasize the name Lord and Jesus out loud, okay? I mean, a little bit louder than the other words. Can we read it again? Ready? Begin. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Is that name associated with your life? The way you transact business, the way you converse with your neighbor, the way that you love your wife as Christ loved the church, the way that you love and nurture your children, the way that you conduct your life, because the Bible says whatsoever you do, whether in word or in deed, I guess that pretty much covers it. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know what that tells me? That tells me that my life needs to be worthy of that name. Not my name, but his name. The name above every name. Jesus. That's what Christmas is about. Someone has well said Jesus has been acclaimed as the greatest religious leader who ever lived, as being the most influential person to have lived on our planet. And as being unique to the degree that no one can be compared to him. But considering Jesus Christ merely on the basis of an exemplary life and his superior moral teaching will not remove the stumbling blocks to Christianity raised by an unbelieving world. The real test of what one thinks of him must revolve around who he claimed to be and what he accomplished during his brief mission to our planet. Our conclusion then must be that there is no Christianity without Christ, for all center on him. Amen. It's about Jesus. The predominant theme then of Scripture is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Listen carefully, he is God. Amen. He became a human being. He died by crucifixion. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. He is the only all-sufficient Savior of the world. And he will come again to this earth, I promise, because he did. Amen. Jesus Christ. So then to perceive Christmas through the wrappings, I suppose you could agree with me, becomes more difficult every year. If an alien came to this world today and he witnessed the behavior of the vast majority, sad to say, even of Christendom, would think that Christmas was about someone else, a different purpose. So to perceive Christmas through its wrappings becomes more difficult every year. That's why we must not attempt to perceive Christmas through anything other than the name of Jesus Christ. The angel said to Joseph, and she shall call, bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The name was already picked out. It was already ordained before the foundations of the world that his name should be Salvation is of Jehovah. So, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft and undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. My heart for very joy doth leap, my lips no more can silence keep. I too must sing with joyful tongue that sweetest ancient cradle song. Glory to God in the highest heaven, who unto man his son hath given, while angels sing with pious mirth a glad new year to all the earth. Maybe today you've never taken Jesus to be your Savior. And maybe today you'd like to settle that in your heart. That means if you were to die today, you right now, as you sit there, are not 100% sure that you'd be in heaven. But man, you sure would like to know. After hearing about Jesus Christ and hearing what he did and how much God loves you. By the way, he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you need to be saved this morning? I meet a lot of people. Unfortunately, the vast majority of them say two things. Either I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, or I don't care to know how. Isn't that sad? One day, all of this that we live in is going to be gone. And people who will not take Christ to be their Savior on the earth will stand before Him. And they will have to give an account as to why they didn't. And they will have, sadly, nothing to say. Because before the Almighty God, they will know they were loved. They will know that their sin was paid for. And they will know how imprudent it was to say no thanks to the Savior. The old preacher years ago said, people will go to hell unsaved, but they will not go unloved. They will have to step across the blood of Jesus Christ and enter the gates of hell. By the way, that were never intended for them. God said, hey, I want you to hear the greatest story ever told begins at Bethlehem. And it goes all the way to Calvary. And it includes every person in this room. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for being so good and gracious. We do thank you for loving us so much that you left glory in the body of your Son and you were manifested in our presence. God, you interrupted time and space with your deity and you were wrapped and clothed in human flesh, though you thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You made yourself of no reputation. You were made in the likeness of man and took upon your own self the embodiment of a servant, and then you became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Lord, it wouldn't be worthy of the name of Jesus if we only spoke of your birth today. Oh, it was miraculous. Of a virgin being born, nothing compares. But God, the reason that you were born was to die. The entire embodiment of the name Jesus is that salvation does not come from a manger. It comes from an empty tomb. And for that, we celebrate and we glorify the name of Jesus Christ today. You are the anointed Messiah and our deliverer from our sin. And for that, we praise thee, O God. And today, during this invitation, we pray and ask that if anybody needs to be saved, that they would be. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if you're here today and with nobody looking around for fear of embarrassment, maybe you'd say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I died today I'd be in heaven. In fact, I know that I wouldn't be. But I would like to know. Today on Christmas morning, I would like to take Jesus as my Savior and unwrap that gift of salvation so that I could be saved. Would you pray for me? With nobody looking around in the privacy of the moment, would you just slip up your hand until I see it so that I can pray for you? Is anybody here like that? Pastor, please pray for me. Please pray for me. I do not know for sure that I'd be in heaven should I die. Please pray for me. Today on Christmas morning, I would like to take Jesus as my Savior. Please pray for me. Is anybody here like that? Just slip your hand up real quick. Put it down. Anybody at all? I will not embarrass you. I will not come and point you out. I promise. Pastor, here's my hand. Please pray for me. All right. Christian, maybe the Lord's spoken to you today about living your life worthy of the name of Jesus Christ. Can I compel you in the best way I know how to live your life worthy of that name? Would you ask the Holy Spirit of God to perhaps search your soul today in your life to find out that part of your life that does not exemplify the name of Jesus and all that it represents? It could be a conversation with somebody. It could be a friend. It could be your marriage. It could be your home. It could be any aspect of your life. And if God points it out, would you do yourself a favor? Would you just confess it to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and then ask Him to give you grace and strength to fix it? He will. I promise you He will. How many would say, nobody looking, Pastor Haynes, I want to live my life worthy of the name of Jesus Christ so that He could be glorified in my life. That is my prayer this morning during this invitation. How many would say, Pastor, that's my prayer. Just slip up your hand real quick all over the building. In a moment, we're going to stand and I'm going to pray. If you feel the need on this Christmas morning, I can think of no other place better to spend Christmas morning than at an altar, at an old-fashioned altar, just beseeching God for mercy and grace and thanksgiving and giving him praise for what he's done and giving us an opportunity to hear from the Holy Spirit today so that things can be right on this Christmas morning. Shall we stand together in prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are very grateful today for all that you've given to us. And Lord, we're very grateful for how you have entrusted us with the gospel and that you have given us mercy and your grace. Thanks for the greatest, Lord, just the unspeakable gift. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Lord, today we just want to sing your praises. We want to say glory to God in the highest so that we could have peace in our heart. Father, would you be glorified today in every hand that was raised? Would you help us all to live lives worthy of the name of our Savior, Jesus? Remind us in the innocence of this moment and Christmas morning the importance of the name. Lord, may we see places in our life where it has impacted us so that we could be inspired to live a more holy life. God, today, we could give ourselves back to you. We could just put your name on our life and present it back to you. God, I pray that we would do that. I pray today we would surrender all for your glory and honor. Please bless these that have asked for prayer and encourage them, meet every need today. And I pray that this invitation would be visited by the Holy Spirit of God for your glory and honor alone. For the name of Jesus and in his precious name we pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the piano plays softly, many are here already at the altar. If you need to come, could I invite you to come this morning? Just pray. You don't have to come here. You can pray right where you are and say, God, I'm just surrendering to you. I want to give my life back to you. Jesus, I'm putting your name on my life and I'm giving it back. He's given so much for us. You cannot deny that. You cannot deny his goodness. You cannot deny his grace. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, we must live for the name of Jesus Christ. As these are praying, could I invite you to pray this morning? Jesus, I come.